Welcome to this edition of the Disciples Men podcast with your hosts Greg Alexander and Alex Ruth. Thank you for joining us as we explore the many challenges of being man of faith in these challenging times. Disciples Men is a ministry of Disciples Home Missions of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in the U.S. and Canada. Let's listen in today's conversation.
Well, hello and welcome to our latest edition of the Disciples Men podcast. I am Alex Ruth, the Associate Director of Disciples Men, and with me today, I have Greg Alexander, the Director of Disciples Men. So welcome, Greg.
Hey, Alex, it's great to be with you again, as always. Hope you're doing well.
I am doing well. I hope you are as well, as we're recording this on a fall day, and I'm enjoying the fall weather and the sunshine.
Oh, that makes two of us. Love this kind of weather.
Well, we've got some catching up to do, so if you'll permit me, let's do a review of where we've been for the past few episodes, and then we will get down to our business at hand for today. And our topic of conversation today will be competition, something that I am looking forward to discussing with you. So we began our journey in this Disciples Men podcast a few episodes ago. First episode was just an opportunity to get to know both Greg and I as we talked about some of our faith journey and how we ended up where we are today. Then we really got down to brass tacks, or down to business, as we began our conversation about this program, about this journey that we are on together, that we are calling the Jesus Way. And that really begins with thinking about our realm of influence. What are those, and who are those? What are those experiences? Who are those people who have impacted us in our lives? And then whom do we impact as well? It's important to think about ourselves as men, as human beings, as not being isolated, but rather part of a larger picture, part of a larger group, a larger community that interacts one with another, and how that impacts who we are, and how who we are impacts how we interact with that community. So kind of a convoluted thing, maybe sometimes, that we interact and we've got all these different connections and people and places that are influence us and we influence. But it's important for us to think about how we interact with the world around us as disciples men, as men, as Christian men on this journey together. Then after that, we took on what is a dominant topic, I think, in our world today. We took on the topic of patriarchy. Patriarchy are those systems that impact those who have less privilege than we do in the world. Often we think of patriarchy as how we as men impact women in our lives, but it is also impacted in issues of dominance, which I'm sure we'll discuss a little bit today as we talk about conflict and competition, as we interact man to man. There are issues of privilege that play into our lives as well, and how we can live through that privilege in a way that honors our common creation as children of God. That's really, I think, for me, the issue that is probably most central is how do we live together in a way that honors our common creation as children of a beloved God.
That's a great summary of where we've been, Alex. I appreciate that very much. I think it's really important for for our listeners to hear multiple points of view as we unpack these very important topics that ground the work that we do together with Disciple Men. The topic for today, if I may go ahead and move us in that direction, is competition.
Certainly.
Competition. And a little backstory around this for me, why this became such an important issue for the work we do as Disciple Men. And it goes back to when I was a junior in high school. I can still remember that we were sitting in first day of class in Mr. Luman's economics class. He was an interesting guy. I liked him a lot. He was a really interesting character, as many of our old high school teachers were. And he came in, first day of class, had a piece of chalk in his hand. It's the day of chalkboards. And started tossing the chalk up in the air as he surveyed the class. Never says a word. Turns around and about foot-high letters across a chalkboard, he writes this: "The key to capitalism is competition." And then he said, "If you don't remember anything else from this class, never forget this, because it will impact you the rest of your life." So at the time, it didn't make much sense to me, didn't give any thought to it. And then when I began in the early early 1990s to focus on men's ministry, that statement of Mr. Luman's came back. And I began to realize that part of the problem that we have as men in the Western culture is that competition defines every relationship that we're in. And it's built into the social fabric, because in a capitalistic world, if it's grounded in competition, which it is, we're all competing for everything, then it becomes problematic when I try to develop relationships with other people, because at the base level of that relationship, I see them as competitors to me. Now, we've learned ways around that in our relationships with wives and significant others, but when it comes to male-to-male relationships, that competition is so powerful that it prevents us from going into the deeper places within ourselves that God wants us to go, where God resides within us. That intimacy with God and one another that's required for a true spiritually based relationship are hard to find, are hard to get to, because of the competitive nature we have one with another. The problem is that, let's take you and I for instance, Alex, you know, when I want to draw close to you, there's a certain vulnerability. Draw close to you in developing our relationship as men of faith, there's a certain vulnerability that's right. going to require of both of us to adopt in order for that relationship to go where God would have it go. But right. the minute that I give that make myself vulnerable to you, I don't know whether or not you will use that against me in the competitive realm in which we live. I mean, maybe you want to be the director of Disciple Men, and so therefore you would find ways to undo me. If I allow that vulnerability to be a part of our relationship. Now, again, I know that's not going to happen. That's not even real. But that's the default mode that all men engage in
right.
when they enter into relationships. So, you know, for all the years that I've done men's ministry, one of the things that you observe is when you move to the more competitive, the more conservative expressions of men's ministry, like Promise Keepers, Man in the Mirror, those kinds of things, which, you know, I've passed through those realms over the years. They do not acknowledge competition as a weakness or as something to overcome. They build their programs on that competition. That's why they're done in stadiums, and they use sports and military metaphors, because it reinforces that basic competitive instinct that's in men. Well, the problem is, at least from my perspective, is that gets in the way. That builds more walls from man to man, so that now, you know, we define each other by who's got the best job, who's got the prettiest wife, who has, lives in the biggest house, mm-hmm. or who's developed, the most significant men's curriculum or men's ministry, who's drawing all the men into their realm. And so, you know, that competition continues to dominate every element of many expressions of men's ministry. what you and I are doing with the Jesus way is saying that we believe that that's more of an impediment to our relationship with God than an asset, and that what we really need to do is understand that if we're really going to be Jesus way men, if we're going to follow the model that Jesus himself established for all of us, men and women, then we have to learn to set competition aside, make ourselves vulnerable one to another, and trust that that love, the love that God has for all of us, that we have for one another, will prevail. So that competition, it's extremely important that we understand it's the dynamic it plays in our lives and how it keeps us from being the kind of men, the kind of Jesus way men that God really requires us to be. And, you know, just even a cursory study of the life of Jesus, you know, just a quick read through the four Gospels, you don't find competitive language in Jesus's realm. You find him dismantling all of those elements that would separate one right. person from another. And so, you know, the competition has to be understood. Its impact on us has to be understood and acknowledged. And of course, we are developing resources through the Jesus Way ministry for men that dismantles the power of competition in our lives and gives us a whole new way in which we develop relationships one with another.
I appreciate how you said Jesus working to dismantle those areas of competition, systems of competition in the lives that he impacted. Several years ago, I read again a story from the Gospels where the disciples are out and about and they are conducting ministry on Jesus' behalf. He has sent them out. And as they return, they somewhat glowingly report that they encountered this other person who was healing in Jesus' name. And they say, Jesus, we went to stop this individual because we didn't know him. We viewed ourselves, in essence, as competitors because we didn't know who this individual was. And Jesus in turn chastises the disciples and says, whoever casts out, you know, demons in my name, whoever is creating this healing, bringing forth the kingdom of God in my name, cannot be against us. Jesus turns this idea of whoever isn't with us is against us on its head, and basically says, whoever isn't against us, whoever is doing good works, whoever is bringing about God's kingdom here on earth, is with us, is part of us, and really dismantles that whole idea of competition swiftly, deftly, as Jesus often does. And hearing that story again really kind of transformed the way I view the world and ministry and just life in general to begin to dismantle that idea of competition in my life.
It's very real. And as a pastor, you also know how that comes into your own ministry. You know, in a more generic way, think about, you know, there's a new, more contemporary church that moves into your community that's beginning like a vacuum cleaner to suck everybody around you into its ministry. And your congregation immediately says, how's come we can't be like them? How's come you can't get more people in here? And so, you know, all of a sudden you're tasked with how you compete with that new church or that new ministry down the road. Every pastor's nightmare, you know, contains that scenario is that we're not them. And when we say, you know, when right. the question is, why aren't we them, comes up, it's all about we are losing this particular competition with those other Christians. And, you know, and so again, it pervades right. so very much of who we are in our lives. And again, I want to be real clear, competition in and of itself is not a bad thing. If it weren't for competition, we wouldn't have the medical advancements that we have today. We wouldn't have the technological advancements we have today because it's you know, it is competition that drives the, you know, that desire to improve and make life better. So again, competition has a great role to play in our lives, and so it's not all bad. Where it becomes problematic is where we allow the competition to impede and get in the way of our relationships one with another. And so again, it's a matter of rising above, you know, into a mm-hmm. growing into kind of a greater understanding of how competition or the world as it is trying to define me as one of the competitive principles in a capitalistic realm. Capitalism needs me to compete well in order to thrive. And so it will always push back against us, using the world as just the, you know, the not of God realm. The world always wants to maintain our strong competitive instincts because that's what makes it thrive. And the minute that we begin to set aside those competitive instincts, it gets threatened. The world gets threatened because all of a sudden what drives its economy is losing the principles that drive it. Mm-hmm. And again, we're never going to see in our lifetime, I doubt, or ever maybe, you know, a wholesale shift in which competition is no longer a dominant reality. But for those of us who follow Jesus, competition has to be put in its right place. And, you know, if it's a competition to, you know, find a cure for cancer, you know, embrace it. If it's a competition with the, you know, the fellow Christian sitting across the table from you in a Bible study, you better park it, because, you know, you've put a cap on how far you can go in that relationship and in that particular journey.
One of the things that I've been blessed with over the past, it's been more than a decade now, is to be in a weekly time of fellowship and prayer with several other pastors here in Marshfield, in my hometown. And we've gathered through the years and really been blessed by their willingness to set aside some of our doctrinal, even some of our core theological challenges, to live together in community, to support one another as, in this case, all brothers in Christ. And I've really been blessed by that opportunity to just live life with other men. And we could have gotten into that competitive mode. You know, we're all pastors in the same community. We're all vying, if you will, from some perspective, for the same folks, people who are religiously minded, who want to worship God, who want to learn more about how we live in relationship with God. And so we could have been in competition with one another, but choosing intentionally to support one another has allowed us to walk through some very sometimes painful, very important and transformative parts of our
lives. And what would you say
together.
are the principles that allow that to happen?
From my perspective, I think it's been a focus on that we are all individually created and called by God, and that our focus has been, like I said, for better than a decade, on doing God's work, if you will, in our community. Our focus has been on God's will and discerning what that looks like for each one of us. And that has allowed us, I think, to support one another, because it's not about me. It's not about any one of us. It's about God. And that God focus, or Christ focus, has been probably the largest factor, I think, in allowing us to create this community of support, this network of love and of care that is so desperately needed, I think, in all of our lives, maybe especially in the lives of pastors, but I think, in the lives of all people.
And I also was curious as to whether or not most of those conversations have a focus on the other, you know, the needs of those beyond the group of pastors who are gathering. That sort of is a motivational element for making sure you do come together and find common ground.
There is certainly a large part of that. We're wanting to keep our focus on the community at large, how we can best serve, how we can best lead. And there's also, I think, particularly because we are pastors, a sense that sometimes this profession, this calling can be a little bit lonely, can be a little bit daunting. And so we've been able to support one another by some shared experience. And I think that that's probably also one of the joining factors, maybe in all of men's ministry, is coming around some shared experiences.
I think sometimes that gets overlooked, especially in broad strokes. You know, this is one of those places where competition rules when we stay sort of like 20,000 feet up and are looking around at the world around us. Whereas when I begin to focus and know the name and the circumstance of my neighbor, whether it's a pastor, at the Baptist church down the street, or a neighbor in need, is that when we begin to get close enough to see that, wow, they're human just like me. Wow, they have problems in their life just like I have. And
yes,
nobody, my problems or their problems are not larger or more important than the other, because all of these problems impede or get in the way of our fullness, our wholeness, our oneness with God. And so therefore that, you know, we find a new connection with each other when we get away from the platitudes and all those other impositions of definition placed upon us, and begin to see each other for what we are. You know, we're brothers and sisters, whether we acknowledge it in Christ or not. We're all part of the same human family, and we all have to rely upon the same, earth and its resources for us to survive. And all of a sudden, the particular lens through which I am looking at the world becomes less important, and finding a common lens for both of us to look at the world elevates itself in importance. And, but it takes that personal encounter, that getting to know each other really, that makes all this other stuff secondary or unimportant, at least for a while.
Greg, I'm just thinking, as you're talking, how in your experience, in your perspective, how does competition and this ideal of abundance that Jesus promotes in the Gospels, saying, you know, I want you to live life and live life abundantly.
I think
how
they
do those
intersect.
Two intersect, or do
let
they?
Let me reframe it a little bit. When we are of the world, and that is our primary focus, how does the world measure value? Value is measured by the externals, by what I have, what I achieve, what I conquer, the status that I rise to, among the people around me. All of those factors are how the world measures my sense of worth. God gave us a different economy. In God's economy, our sense of worth is not measured by what we have, but by who we are and where we place our allegiance. God's value is determined by the intent of our heart and how we live out our lives. And so if my value is not being measured, by the Beamer in my driveway, or my brand new Callaway golf clubs, or, the new wardrobe I have, or my gated community house, if that's not what it's about, what is it? Well, Jesus made it very clear. When Jesus began to talk about abundance, he didn't talk about things. He talked about relationships. And so, when you're talking about what abundance is in God's economy, mm-hmm. the abundance is the amount of love we're able to generate, one with another, and coming together for the world. That's where the abundance is. And so when you're talking about competition, if I'm ruled by competition, I don't care about love. I don't care about the internals that God uses to measure, because the world says they're of no value. And so we have to make that shift. That's right. Part of the transformation that we go through, from going, followers of this, being, bound by this world, to being citizens in the realm of God, is that we change our focus on what is of most important, what is of highest value, and how do we measure abundance and our sense of self-worth. And that's a hard shift in our culture, because competition and the accumulation of things is such a strong, all-pervasive dynamic about the world in which we live. And as we talked earlier, it bleeds right into the church as well as we, compete church to church. So for me, abundance, it's a matter of understanding that my abundance isn't measured by what I have, but who I am and who I'm in relationship with. And, together, when you and I begin to join forces, we can love each other. But when we begin to join our forces and start loving those beyond ourselves or our own families, that we are experiencing an abundance of peace and joy, et cetera, the fruits of the Spirit that are ours to enjoy, that are gifts of God. And, we are also promised that, the needs and the wants that we have, the appropriate wants and needs that we have will be met, and some of those externals become far less important, as we engage and live out of God's economy of love and abundance. And so therefore we're freer to share, we become tithers instead of, Scrooges in how we support ministry. We look at life, my gift to the church is not buying a fire insurance policy for my eternal existence, that it truly is a matter of, I want to share because I want to love, and I want people to know the love of God manifested in me and through our church. And so, we just have a total shift in focus and priority in how we live our lives. As long as competition is in control, none of that takes place, because I'll always think that it will shortchange me of having enough to compete adequately in the world. When I put competition aside, those things no longer matter. I know God will take care of me, and I know my joy lies in how I bring joy to you. And, that's the shift that has to be made if you're going to be a follower of Jesus.
I think that we've hit on some really important topics today, and look forward to, in the future, maybe being able to follow up on some of these. One of the things that is striking me as we're talking is that, yes, this is a difficult and hard shift that we have to make. It's a transformative journey. And my sense is that there are certainly ways that we would want to, or try to, maybe shortcut that. And so I think it'll be important for us. And I know this is part of what we want to do with Disciples Men and with Jesus Way, is to provide pathways on which we can begin to make some of these transitions, as we can transform ourselves and
so true. And I want, before we run out of time, I just want to make connect a couple dots. You helped start the podcast today with a reminder of where we've been with Realm of Influence and patriarchy. Competition impacts the realm of influence, because if we see all the people within our realm, that constellation of relationships around us, as competitors, we've got a problem. And, we can never move into the kind of depth relationship, a love relationship with those individuals, if competition is in charge of our lives. And so it has direct impact on the realm of influence. And patriarchy has to be understood as that which has reinforced and supported the dominance of male competition in the world. It's what gave men the competitive advantage, in our world over women, people of color, etc., is that patriarchy was the principle that preserved the competitive edge for men. And so we have to understand that all these are of a piece. all of these feed and support each other. And you know, dismantling some of these things that have elevated men to a false position of authority and advantage have to be undone. We have to level the playing field for one and all. That's the message Jesus brought into the world. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And that egalitarian platform is what we're trying to create through our work with men through the Jesus Way. And I know you're getting ready to say this, but just let me throw in that, you know, two sessions from now, we get back to topics, and it will be the immature versus mature masculine. And it's there that we begin to see how the transition begins to take place, where the, you know, where we talk about the process of transition between a world of competition and the world of abundance. That comes with being a part of the realm of God.
Yes, great segue there. And I was thinking that. I was also thinking that in our next episode, we're going to have the opportunity to spend a little bit of time and talk with Ron Petrick. And Ron is the vice president of the General Conference of Disciples Men. And Ron also has the honor and privilege, sometimes I'm sure daunting task, of being the coordinator for our upcoming Sessions 2020, which will be happening in July of 2020. And not by coincidence, the theme of that is I Am My Brother's Keeper, which I think goes directly to this topic of competition and how we relate to one another. So here in a couple of weeks, we'll have the opportunity to talk with Ron and get some more information about Sessions and find out a little bit more about what brings Ron to this conversation as well. I'm looking forward to that, as well as a couple episodes hence, our discussion about mature and immature masculine and how those relate one to another. Greg, thank you for spending some time with me this morning.
Always a pleasure, Alex. And I'm so grateful we're on this journey together, and can't wait till after the first of the year when we'll be rolling out the new Jesus Way curriculum to disciple men and anyone else who wants to use it for that matter. So just to our listeners, stay tuned. We got some really great things coming soon.
Our special thanks to our good friend, the Reverend Dr. Dean Phelps, for providing the special music of this podcast. You can discover more of Dean's music at deanphelpsmusic.com. And you can learn more about the Ministry of Disciples Men on Facebook and through discipleshomemissions.org.